It's 107.7 The Bone, Baby Hugh and Bimbo Jimbo here. And Jimbo, we're so excited. We've been talking about this all week. Big Time Wrestling has their super show this Saturday, May 20th at Newark Memorial High School. Get your tickets right now at btwrestling.com. And we're talking of one of the stars from this Saturday show.
That's right. We have WWE Hall of Famer legend Tito Santana. Thanks for coming on with us, Tito.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, this is really an honor, Tito. Like, Jimbo and I are just longtime fans of just wrestling in general. And of course, you play a big part of our childhood. So it's really special right now to be talking to you. So just talking about this Saturday, we're just so excited to see you come out and wrestle a BTW Super Show out here in the Bay Area. So I just wanted to ask you, do you have any favorite memories of wrestling here in the Bay Area?
Well, just that, you know, whenever we would come out to San Francisco, the wrestling fans, I guess, you know, they had a lot of Hispanics, Mexicans there. And, mm-hmm. and you know, it was a great, great, great town for me. And I always had a great following, you know, in the San Francisco area. And I just used to love, I mean, we used to get some great crowds and the reaction of the fans and the support that we had, it never got old, you know, and it's been a while since I've been back, and I'm really looking forward to hopefully meet some of the fans that that I didn't get to meet because they wouldn't let them get close to us. and this time it's going to be a different situation where, you know, we get to talk to the fans and we get to reminisce and, you know, talk about the good old days.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the fans, and I think one of the things that we like is when we go out to the BTW shows and stuff like that, it's the increased fan interaction, being able to go up to your favorite wrestlers, tell them how much we appreciate them. Is that something that keeps sort of your passion going for wrestling, to get that interaction from the fans?
Yes, it is, you know, because I still stay, you know, involved on the weekends. I'm a school teacher. I'm a full-time school teacher. I teach Spanish in the middle school. But I really enjoy going out and meeting the fans. You know, it never gets old. The fans know more about me than I do, you know, and they bring out some memories that I had totally blocked out, you know, and they remind me of matches that I had in the past. And you know, it's just, I've always been so grateful for the fan support, you know, because without the fans, none of us would have been where we were at. You know, we got a great following and therefore, you know, Vince McMahon, you know, utilized our popularity and, you know, the fans always showed me great support. And you know, I've never been, more grateful than now, because whenever I show up, even now, they appreciate talking to me.
Nice. That's really cool. Well, so just talking about you coming to various independent shows, have you noticed that you've become kind of like a mentor for the younger talent, as in, do they try to like pick your brain or ask you for advice about the wrestling industry?
Yes. You know, as you guys know, I mean, you grew up in our era. The business has completely changed. It's a different era. But it'll always be important to know how to what we call it, work.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, these young guys, you know, I always tell them, when I first started wrestling, for 5 years, I pretty much wrestled guys that were better than me. So I was always learning. Now, you know, you wrestle with young guys, you know, and I tell them, you know, they've been wrestling 1 or 2 years. A lot of times they are the ones that are the teachers, and they don't have enough knowledge or experience to be able to be the leaders in the ring, you know. So whenever they get a chance to wrestle with an old veteran like myself, you know, they can see, you know, the difference and how we incorporate the crowd and how we get the crowd involved during the match. And, you know, it's a lot easier, you know. They go out there and they kill themselves and they don't get a response. And we go out there and we know how to bring the crowd in, and, you know, the people go crazy, and, you know, they get a heck of an education, you know, just wrestling with a veteran.
Yeah. That psychology aspect, I do feel like, is something that sometimes is a lost art in professional wrestling across the board. I mean, going all the way up to WWE now and stuff like that, just in terms of how things are sold or not and stuff like that. So it's interesting to hear you say that, that they're able to learn from you. We recently spoke with Lisa Marie Varon, and she said that you have some incredible road stories, which is Baby Huey and I, we love hearing road stories from professional wrestlers. So I was wondering if you could share just a favorite or funny road story that you might be able to share with us.
Well, you know, you kind of threw me off guard, but, you know, there was a story one time we were in Canada, and, you know, we always used to travel in groups.
Uh-huh.
And I was traveling with Hillbilly Jim and Lenny Poffo, and I was driving, and Hillbilly Jim gave me his, this might not be what you want to hear, but it was very amusing for me and Lenny Poffo. He gave me his we used to have those fuzz busters, you know, radar detectors.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we were in Canada, and they're illegal in Canada. And I'm driving, and all of a sudden, I look in the rearview mirror, and I see a cop had a car pulled over, and the guy behind me pulled over. And then I see the cop follow me. And I told the guys, I said, I put away the fuzz buster under the seat. And I told the guys, I said, I guarantee you that car told them that we had a fuzz buster. So sure enough, it was a woman that pulled us over. And she says, where's your fuzz buster? And I said, we don't have a fuzz buster. And she goes, get out of the car. Let me look. So we got out of the car, and she found it underneath the seat. And I had never seen Hillbilly Jim get so upset. I mean, he got so mad at the woman cop. It was on a Sunday, and she goes, I'm going to keep the fuzz buster. And Hillbilly says, no, you're not. And she goes, yes, I am. He says, well, how about if you have to arrest me? And I said, Hillbilly, we got to make the show. And he called her all kinds of names and stuff.
Oh, dear.
And I said, you know, we had the fuzz buster on. There was an accident, or maybe you know how when a cop pulls somebody over, everybody's rubber necking.
Yeah.
So it was bumper to bumper. So we didn't even need the fuzz buster because we were bumper to bumper, and for that woman to leave the scene where she had somebody else pulled over, and come give us she just didn't want to know anything about professional wrestling, and we had to go get to a wrestling show or anything . And Hillbilly, we came close for all three of us to getting arrested.
Oh, man. That would not have boded well, I feel, for all of you. But that's so no fuzzbusters in Canada.
No fuzzbusters in Canada.
Do you ever talk to Hillbilly Jim about that?
Yeah, every time I see him, we laugh, especially when me and him and Lenny Poffo, because Lenny Poffo was kicked to death. I don't know if you know too much about Lenny Poffo. Lenny Poffo, of course, was Randy,
yeah.
Macho Man's younger brother, and he was he was like a little wimp, and Lenny didn't. I mean, Lenny was in the back seat, no, don't get us into trouble, and thank God, we ended up. She also took the Fuzzbuster, and she gave us a ticket for. I'll never forget. It was $180 because we split it three ways.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you didn't get arrested.
No, we didn't get arrested, but we lived to tell about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Tito, I was also just wondering, are you able to keep up with much of the current WWE product today? And if so, is there anyone in particular you enjoy watching?
No, I with teaching and doing independence, I have no idea when the WWE comes on. I do know that Bob Orton's son has done very, very well. I used to enjoy The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin when they were there. But I'm not a watcher of the current product. Once in a while, if I'm channel searching, I watch a match and I see that the guys, you got the baby face selling, and I said, well, I'm gonna just watch it and see, how they're gonna get out of this. And the way we grew up and the way we learned, everything we did had a reason, and the stuff they do now has no rhyme or reason. You know, some guy could be selling and selling and selling and selling, and all of a sudden he jumps up and, you know, yeah, everything that they've done, you know, meant nothing. All of a sudden, you know, they're 100% and going crazy.
Yeah.
And us, you know, we would start a comeback nice and slow. And if we were in a tag match, you know, our objective was to get our partner in to come in. He was a fresh one. and I don't see the knowledge there, you know, and it's lacking, and the fans can tell, you know. Mm-hmm. Everywhere I go, you know, the fans still watch it. The fans still enjoy what's going on. It's a completely different sport. Now it's a TV entertainment, but the fans always tell you the same thing, you know. It's not like it used to be. You know, you guys were so much better, but it's because we had what you mentioned a little while ago. We had psychology, you know, and we were taught psychology, and these guys have nobody to teach them the psychology of a match, and psychology is not important now. It's a TV production, and they want a lot of action, and just, you know, bumping and beating each other up. And actually, the stuff that they do nowadays, it's a lot riskier, and a lot the injuries are a lot more serious than what we used to get.
Yeah. That's very interesting stuff. I mean, you mentioned how you transitioned into being a teacher, and I saw the piece that Sports Illustrated ran on you a couple years back. I thought it was such a great story. So I just wanted to check in and just, what can you tell us about, you know, your teaching career and how that's all been going?
Well, you know, as a matter of fact, I last weekend, I did an appearance with Tully Blanchard JJ. Manager Dylan.
JJ Dillon.
Yeah, and me and Tully played football together, you know, and I never thought that I was going to utilize my teaching degree, but I graduated in 1975 from West Texas State with a teaching degree, and after I got done with wrestling, you know, I had no idea what I was going to do for the rest of my life. Me and Sergeant Slaughter tried to start a new federation called the AWF in Chicago, and the people told us that they had a lot of money, and it turned out that they didn't. They were not of money, so they just after a year. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I was very, my wife says, why don't you try teaching? So I didn't know if I was going to like it, and I started dubbing, you know, and education was so important to me, and my eighth grade gym teacher is the one that got me involved in sports. So, you know, that's the reason I went into education, because I figured that someday I wanted to, you know, do the same thing for somebody. And, you know, I'm in a situation where I believe I'm a role model, and you know, I have a good name, and, you know, drugs and negative stuff has never come out, you know, about Bill Santana. And
yeah,
I'm really proud to be who I am, and I do believe that I'm making a difference with some of these kids, because some of these kids need somebody to look up to, and I believe that I have a way of reaching out because of what I went through in my life. You know, that coach was so influential in my life, and if it hadn't been for him, I could have gone completely you know, the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome, Tito. You're doing great work with
that's
that.
Really cool.
So that's super awesome to hear.
So Tito, we just have a couple more questions for you. So this is something my brother and I love talking about you, and we were just both wondering, it's kind of a two-part, or just reference to two guys. So one, what was it like working with Don Morocco? I know you had the great feud when you got the Intercontinental belt from him. And also, what was it like working with Rick Martel as your tag team partner, going back to your Strikeforce days?
Well, Don Morocco first. I mean, when I came to the WWE in 1983, Don Morocco was the Intercontinental Champion, and he had a huge feud with the Superfly Jimmy Snuka. God rest his soul. And I mean, the stuff that Don Morocco used to do in the ring was unbelievable. And I was still pretty, you know, wet behind the ears, and you know. Jimmy Snuka didn't take the title away from Don Morocco, and they put me against Don Morocco. And so a couple of months later, I'm the Intercontinental Champion. I beat Don Morocco, but the experience that I got from wrestling, you know, and you know, I just recently thanked him on Facebook. You know, I told him, I said, I never took the time to thank you, you know, and I said, but I learned so much from you. And you know, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, you know, because that was my biggest break in professional wrestling. And he was a real pro, and he showed me so much in a short period of time. And me, that catapulted me to one of the top stars in the WWE. And as far as Rick Martel had been and I had been partners in the AWA. Before we became Strikeforce, so we had enjoyed the pleasure of being partners and working against. I'm sure you guys know Greg Gagne and Jumpin' Jim Brunzel. To that area, and they were fantastic wrestlers. And we used to have some what we used to call babyface matches. I mean, we had our Broadways, you know, what we used to call them. We used to go for a solid hour, you know, and entertain the fans. I do believe that the fans, you know, wanted us to beat Greg Gagne and Jumpin' Jim Brunzel. They liked us more than they liked them. I guess maybe they just wanted a change. But it was such a pleasure, you know, to know that, you know, the guy that was your partner, that he was going to carry the load, and then you didn't have to worry about him. Again, you know, drugs were a part, you know, of our business. You didn't have to worry about Rick Martel not showing up for a match or, you know, showing up all messed up. And, you know, and talking about drugs, you know, I do believe that a lot of the guys that became addicted, you know, they became addicted to pain pills because, you know, we didn't have any contracts and we were hurt. And doctors every night. Yeah, there were doctors every night, and they'd give us prescriptions for pain pills. And I think that was the beginning of a lot of problems for a lot of the guys, you know. And I felt sorry for a lot of my friends that were weak and were not able to handle, you know, the day in and day out of our business, because, I mean, we were like robots. I mean, we used to work like dogs. We used to wrestle 350 days a year.
Man.
A lot of weekends. We'd wrestle twice on Saturdays and twice on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talk about this. We get together and we reminisce, and we don't even know how we did it, you know. You know, but, you know, we managed. You know, we didn't have contracts. If we got sick, if we got hurt, if we didn't show up in the ring, we didn't get paid.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been a heck of a ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. I got to say, just as being a huge fan of yours and Rick Martel, going back to the Strikeforce days and then your feud that followed, but I loved the sort of what, I don't know if you call them starter jackets, but the Strikeforce jackets are just such a great look. I've been trying to track one down online for so long. That was such a classic look. So it's just a very fond memory that I have of you guys. So do you still rock that every now and then? Do you still have one?
You know, I was so stupid that I gave it away, and I have no idea who I gave it away to. Remember the Intercontinental belt, the green one that Greg that had busted up? I had that in my basement.
No way.
I just looked at it as garbage because it was all beat up, and I ended up throwing it in the garbage. I mean, and I kicked myself in the butt because, I mean, that means so much now, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, God, I just kicked myself in the butt for not keeping that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the problem with that is a lot of us thought that it was going to last forever. You know, we thought totally. It was going to last forever. And before you knew it, you know, it was over. You know, we had a good run. I mean, I was there. When I left, I was there longer than anybody else. And then came Bret the Hitman Hart, and me and Hulk Hogan had been there pretty much the same length of time. And when you're there, you think that it's going to last forever. Mm-hmm. You know, and when it's over, you know. And then for me, when it was over, you know, I just left, and I wanted to be home with my family and watch my kids grow up. So I had never, and then I never looked to go back. They offered me positions to be agents, to be involved with the company, I had no desire to be on the road anymore.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I know that was a grind, especially back then. Last one for you, and I certainly do hope all the listeners come out to the BTW Super Show this Saturday. Baby Huey and I will be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. You can see Tito Santana, Lisa Marie Varon is, you know her as Victoria from WWE. But this is the last one I got for you because you wrestled the very first match in WrestleMania history. I mean, that's something they can never take away from you. I mean, it's WrestleMania 1. What was your emotion like before going out there? I mean, did Vince talk to you about that? Did you feel any added pressure knowing that there was a lot riding on WrestleMania and you're the first match?
Right. I want to talk about that, and I want to talk about a guy that I played football with in college that lives in San Francisco that I'm going to get together. He reached out to me a couple of months ago, and we're both looking forward to getting together. But I don't know if you remember, I had a big feud with Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Mm-hmm.
And when I find out that I'm going to be in the, me and Greg the Hammer Valentine had been on main events selling out, big buildings without Hulk Hogan. I mean, the people really got into our feud. We were drawing some big crowds, and all of a sudden, I'm the opening match in WrestleMania. And I was really, really down, that I thought that I should have been wrestling Greg the Hammer Valentine in a meaningful match and get a good payday. So right before, I go out, I'm looking through the curtain waiting to go out, and Vince McMahon comes up to me and he says, "Tito," he says, "the reason you are on the first match is because I need somebody to go out there and get the fans off their ass. And you're the man that can do it."
Nice.
And at that moment, a light flashed on and it gave it a more of an important meaning to me, going out there. I'm so glad that he came out. Well, the years went by and I never really thought about how important the opening match on WrestleMania turned out to be. It turned out to be one of the best things that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being the opening match and what Vince said to me and I believe that I could wrestle against a broom and make the broom look good and get the fans involved. I felt that I was that good of a worker, and I had that good of a ring psychology in the ring. So I can see why Vince McMahon wanted me to be the one that opened the show. But I never realized how important it is until years later, I'm so grateful that I was the opening match.
Very cool. Well, Tito,
you guys probably remember that I ended up doing a run in on Greg the Hammer Valentine and Junkyard Dog. And,
yeah.
I didn't know that either until later on.
It all worked out. Like I said, they can never take that away from you. I mean, just what a great part of your legacy to have.
Yep. And thank you so much, guys, for having me on. And I'm looking forward to meeting both of you. You guys are going to be there on Saturday, right?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. We wouldn't miss it. Looking forward to it very much.
Tito, real quick, I just want to ask just your thoughts. You think Rick Martel should be in the WWE Hall of Fame?
I told you I was just with J.J. Dillon, and J.J. Dillon was in the office, working mm-hmm. for Vince McMahon in the office. And I said, J.J., I said, is there heat? Because if there is heat with him in the office, we never heard of it. Rick has never shared that with me.
Okay.
And I have no idea. There are guys that are in the Hall of Fame that couldn't lace up Rick Martel's boots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why he's not in the Hall of Fame. I mean, there's got to be a reason. I don't understand, what the reason could be. I mean, I gave my notice to Vince McMahon, and not too many, I quit on my own terms, and not too many people would gave Vince McMahon their notice. Mm-hmm. I gave him my notice. And I'm in the Hall of Fame, so whatever we did was a lot worse than giving a notice to Vince McMahon. I if anybody deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, it's Rick Martel, and I just hope that I'm sure he'll be in the Hall of Fame eventually.
We hope so. We certainly agree with you.
you know, he's well deserved, and most of the wrestling fans that know Rick know that he deserves, and when he gets in there, you know, all the good guys eventually get in. I mean, Randy Macho Man Savage had a lot of heat, and he's in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. You know, soon enough, it'll be the right time, and you know, he'll be in the Hall of Fame. I don't have the heart to ask Rick. You know, if he wanted to share it with me, he would have shared it. You know, yeah. So I respect him for, you know, I respect him enough to, you know, not to pry into his business. But, you know, he does deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. Well, hey, Tito, listen, this has been such a pleasure talking to you. We just love hearing your stories, and we appreciate everything you've done for the business, and just hearing how you sound just very humble, and we love all this. So thank you again for making the time today. So we encourage everyone, go out to Big Time Wrestling's Big Super Show this Saturday, May 20th at Newark Memorial High School. Get your tickets right now. BTWrestling.com, Tito Santana, Lisa Marie Varens, all the stars from BTW are going to be out there. Tito, thank you again, and we'll see you out there this Saturday.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tito.
Thank you, Tito. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Okay, guys. Thank you. Bye.